21 years ago this month, Kurt Cobain was found dead in his Seattle home. The lead singer and guitarist of Nirvana had died by suicide. He was only 27 years old. A new documentary about Cobain's life opens tonight at Seattle SIFF Cinema. It's called Montage of Heck. Cobain biographer Charles R. Cross joins me now to talk more about this movie. Thanks for coming by today.
You're welcome.
This story of this very young man has been told before in books, on screen. So what's different about this movie?
Well, for this film, the documentarian got access to Kurt's archives, to family movies that his mother had that had never come out before, and some rare audio tapes. So it's sort of the first official documentary, if you don't want to include the things Nirvana did when Kurt was alive.
You had seen some of this material in putting together your book, right?
I had, yeah.
Was any of it new to you?
Some of it was new to me. Some of the family photos I didn't see. And I think that was actually the one thing that was more surprising to me, was to see Kurt as a tiny child. I certainly heard this from people I interviewed for my books, that he was beloved, but to actually see the home footage of him at his first birthday party really is extraordinary. But most of the rest of the movie was material that I already was aware of.
What will hardcore Nirvana fans learn from this that they maybe didn't know? Because there's a lot of information floating around.
I'm not sure they'll learn a lot that they don't know. I mean, Kurt's life has already been sifted through quite a bit. They will experience some of it. You know, it's one thing to read it in a book, and it's another to see it visually. I think the hardest thing for people is that there's some footage towards the end of the movie, which I somewhat doubt whether it should have actually stayed in, where you see Kurt in the worst part of his drug addiction. And to see that video unfold is really painful to watch.
You wrote a review of this film for the Seattle Times, and you said that the filmmaker artfully ignored Cobain's final drug-addled month, but you've just told me that you show some of that. So what do you mean by that?
Well, he ignored his suicide, but he didn't ignore Kurt's drug-addled times were really the last year and a half of his life or so, and we certainly see that footage in this. You know, it's interesting. I did write that review. I posted the review to my Facebook page, and it's been interesting, the response even in the last hour that people have responded, people who knew Kurt and were friends of him that I'd interviewed. And some are saying the movie didn't have enough empathy for who Kurt was, and others say that you're seeing a side of him that you didn't see on stage. I think that Kurt's a contradiction, and this movie is going to bring out a contradictory viewpoints.
You know, it's 21 years ago. This is a man who would have been middle-aged at this point. He was, you know, a whole group of musicians died from suicide at the age of 27. And so it's always with hindsight to view something like that, to view a short life and the trajectory of a short life is always really fascinating. How much romanticizing do you think fans have done in those 21 years?
Well, they've done an incredible amount of romanticizing. When you look at Kurt's life and you look at essentially 3 years of fame, this is such a window that was so small of when this man was famous. And everybody wants to project what he would have done. We, of course, don't know. He died, and we don't know where he would have been today or what he would have been creating.
I'm talking with Cobain biographer Charles R. Cross, who covered the music scene in Seattle as editor of The Rocket in the time that Nirvana and many of those bands in the early 90s were performing. Why do you think the filmmakers, Charles, ignored the suicide or left it out of the film?
Well, I mean, of course, there's no footage of the suicide in this movie. You know, there is crime scene footage that with police tape and other things. You know, there's that, the body being carried out. There's a variety of things like that. But it's very hard to know what do you do with that. How do you handle that in a film?
You wrote a whole book that focused on that.
And, you know, this is a long movie. This movie is 132 minutes, I think. I think it would have been a stronger movie maybe if it was even shorter. There's so much stuff. And the movie kind of digresses and becomes a documentary about Nirvana. And then that's not the same as being a movie about Kurt Cobain. The two are very different. And that's where I think the movie went a little off the rails.
Just aside, why is it called Montage of Heck?
Well, it's a very unmarketable title. Kurt had a creative audio art piece that he called Montage of Heck, which was he took 50 records, some children's records and all sorts of stuff, and edited to this weird sound experiment. If the movie would have had a different title, I think it might have reached a larger audience.
Nevertheless, this documentary is getting a national theatrical release. It's going to run on HBO, who I think are the prime producers of it. Does this film mean more for people in our region who call this man ours?
Absolutely. You know, the primary interest in this movie is going to be in Seattle and in the Northwest. You know, Nirvana played in the basement of the studio we're at. This is really our story, and I think the interest will be local more than anywhere else.
And yet, this is a band and a musician that still sells albums, that still has, you and I have talked about this in the past, still has, there are teenagers who find this man's music.
Absolutely.
Decades after he died.
I think he ends up being a generational milestone that people go through. And what's interesting, I mean, where I have the clearest statistics myself are in book sales. But, you know, South America is crazy for Nirvana. You know, all these kids that are growing up there that never even got a chance to experience this, you know, 20-year-olds in Sao Paulo, Brazil, love Kurt Cobain. And he really represents something about America to them, not just about rock and roll.
Given how much you know about Kurt Cobain's life and music, what's the most important thing that you took away from Montage of Heck?
Well, I don't think I learned a lot about who Kurt was, and that's where I think the movie sort of fails. It doesn't ultimately tell us that much about Kurt. What motivated him? We see him, but it doesn't ultimately sort of explain who he is, partially because he's hard to explain that in any form. The guy is not easy to narrate. But what I came away from it with enjoying the most is there's a couple pieces of audio, including a tape of Kurt playing the Beatles' And I Love Her. And that is so great.
And you have talked in the past, he was a fan of the Beatles.
He was. And, you know, you kind of really hear it in some of the audio tape here that rarely, you know, has never shown up before prior to this movie.
Charles R. Cross is the author of two books about Kurt Cobain, Heavier Than Heaven and Here We Are Now. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Marcy.
The new documentary about Kurt Cobain is called Montage of Heck, and it opens tonight at Seattle's SIFF Cinema. It's always a good day when you have a chance to remember Kurt Cobain and listen to a little Nirvana.